Broadcasting live from the Business Radio X studios in Atlanta, Georgia, it's time for Atlanta Business Radio, spotlighting the city's best businesses and the people who lead them.
Hello and welcome to another exciting and informative edition of Atlanta Business Radio. I'm your host today, Ryan Redhawk McPherson, and I'm absolutely thrilled to be broadcasting from the beautiful Regis Executive Suites here in sensational Sandy Springs, Georgia. As a reminder, make sure you are connected with us on social media. Twitter, you can follow us at Business Radio X, and today we're using the hashtag Atlanta Business Radio. You can also follow me on personally at Ryan Redhawk, and all tweets and comments are welcome there. And make sure you like our Facebook page and interact with us there. Leave your thoughts and comments, and you will be able to see photos of all of our in-studio guests. And now, it's my distinct pleasure to welcome to the Business Radio X flagship studio in the Atlanta Business Radio Show, Marcus West. Good afternoon, Marcus.
Afternoon, Ryan. How are you?
I am excellent. Thank you so much for joining us here today. And you are with a company called Joy Division LLC.
That is correct.
And that is a European sensual lifestyle manufacturer. Am I correct?
That is correct. We are the U.S. division of one of the largest adult wellness manufacturers in Europe.
Adult wellness manufacturers. How long have you been with the organization?
A little under a year.
So as January 2015, and your role is Senior Vice President of Marketing and Sales for Joy Division.
That's correct.
And so what does it look like for you on a day-to-day basis over there?
Well, it's quite an interesting day-to-day challenge. You've got everything from, you know, I've got over 2,000 customers here in the U.S. that, you know, we're actively trying to get product placed on the shelves to, you know, looking at business development deals, what type of partnerships we want to arrange in terms of advancing either our brand or, quite frankly, acquiring other brands to distribute in this space. And we're obviously always kind of consider ourselves the tip of the spear in terms of mainstreaming sensual wellness. And so we're often looking at concepts and ideas, marketing plans that try to, you know, push that bit of the envelope for us.
Interesting. So you're constantly communicating with other people within the organization as well as outside to explore ways to work together and new ideas and develop them. So let's start off from the top. What are some of the pros about working in the adult business?
Well, it is definitely a liberal business.
Okay.
A lot of open-minded people, as you can imagine. I think what's interesting, a lot of people tend to think it's kind of this wild, wild west business where, you know, things are going crazy, but it's a fairly normal office. You mm-hmm. just have a lot of people who, you know, have a openness and a willingness to have a discussion about sensuality and, you know, sexuality and want to improve that. And we look at it as it's a core part of any committed relationship, you know, that just as much as it's important for you to pray together as a family, to eat together. And, you know, as a husband and wife or, you know, husband and husband or wife and wife, you've got that part of your relationship that you want to keep, you know, the spark going on. And we feel like we're the spark plug to help that. We think of it a large part of we're the gas that goes in the car of your relationship. You know, it's not the most important thing, but you don't go very far if there's not any gas in it.
Yeah, so. Very good analogy. And you're probably right about the whole thing about everyone being open-minded and accepting and not a lot of judgment going on between staff and
exactly.
and vendors and customers alike over there.
It is really interesting. I think that what you just brought up is probably one of the most interesting points. You know, my background in mainstream is I kind of mentioned you off air, you know, working at Procter & Gamble and a couple other places like that. The type of sharing we do between competitors is unprecedented. I've never seen it. So, you know, it's akin to Coke calling Pepsi and saying, hey, we had an issue with this retailer. Are you seeing that issue? Great. Let's share data.
Yeah.
I mean, it's amazing the type of partnership you see between manufacturers and retailers. It's really quite a close-knit family in a way.
And what do you attribute that to? Why is there so much support and crosstalk between the different people in that space?
I imagine it probably started in the 70s when, you know, these, if you think about it, they'll, you know, the retailers who were opening up at that time and the manufacturers were, you know, pretty much rebels.
Yeah.
I mean, you were pushing the envelope. And you know, it all started in Times Square and kind of these, you know, really big cities.
Right.
And then as they started expanding, you know, you had to pretty much, you were, you know, it took that support of, you know, hey, I opened up 5 stores in South Carolina. How do you do it in North Carolina? Vice versa. So it took that kind of sharing of knowledge to kind of help right. each other grow. And I think that just has, you know, transposed over the years as, you know, a lot of those owners have either sold to the, you know, other owners and, you know, the manufacturers have either, you know, you started off at a big manufacturer, learned the business and then went and started your own. And, you know, everyone just has maintained a certain level of partnership. There's, it's just an unprecedented close-knitness. I mean, it's just a rare occasion where you'll find kind of the typical antagonistic, you know, you're Pepsi, we're Coke, we don't talk. It's very rare you see that in this industry.
I imagine some of the mainstream corporations can learn from your industry on how to communicate better, how to explore ways of working together more effectively. And certainly, it sounds like you guys are continually to progress and evolve with that business strategy. But you're right, back in the 70s or when the kind of industry was first born, there was no internet.
Correct.
There was no way to get your message out there and share it. It was only shared in back rooms and amongst groups of people. But from your perspective, how have you seen the internet and how have you seen it evolve and change the industry?
Well, it's given a lot more kind of openness to it. So you've got, obviously, you know, the adult video content you can find online, which has certainly brought some things. But I think the other piece to it has really been the privacy and shopping. So I think you'll see year over year growth on online sales of adult wellness products because of the privacy factor. So I don't have to walk in if I'm, you know, ashamed or I don't feel comfortable walking into a store. I can go on to anything from an Adam and Eve to Eden Fantasies to, quite frankly, Amazon or eBay and purchase a very similar products you could get anywhere else. Right. So that privacy, the ability for it to come to your home personally, there are almost always guaranteed to be discreetly packaged, and you know the pricing is pretty similar. So that has really opened up that ability to craft it. And you'll see a lot of websites out there that are, you know, more and more mainstream and couples oriented.
Yeah, no, I agree with that assessment for sure. And some of these businesses out there who are in this space, but they're able to, consumers are able to go there and browse for as long as they want via the web, have it shipped to their home or office in a you know, undescription box, which they can then enjoy in the privacy of their own home. But back to your point there a minute ago about the videos and how they are often grouped into that same space as the product sensual lifestyle that you guys are offering, and how do you differentiate that for the average consumer out there?
Sure. And I think most consumers now know that adult video is all but, you know, dying or dead. It's, I mean, I think there'll be a reinvention of it, you know, in the next year or two. As always, when technology comes out, the adult world kind of snags onto it. So, you know, with virtual reality,
the
Oculus Rift and the Sony VR platform, trust me, I know the guys, they're working on it. It will, that kind of day six execution that you saw in the Schwarzenegger movie, you'll see that coming to life. So there's enough technology out there. There's some really interesting stuff. There are apps that exist now. Yeah. There's just a lot of fun technology. So you'll see video make its comeback. But I think what you're really seeing now from a, particularly from an adult retailer perspective, is more and more boutique-like experiences. So that the woman can walk in, that the husband and the wife can walk in together, that couples can go in and shop. And so it's less of a, you know, sticky floor experiences because those, you know, those privacy rooms don't exist in most boutiques now. They're really much more lingerie focused, very open. And I think if you go into, you know, a store like an Insurrection, a Love Shack, a Starship, you'll see most of them will planogram from what we call mild to wild. So when you walk in the store, you'll see lingerie and kind of very light stuff. And then, you know, the crazy 50 Shades of Grey stuff's all the way in the back of the corner.
Right. No, and there's actually thought process to all of that to keep the consumer in mind.
Exactly. And you'll find, and I think this is one of the great things about this space that's really unique. As I said, I've worked in a lot of mainstream companies. A lot of the adult manufacturers train the adult retail staff. So we've trained them not only on the products, but how to interact with the consumer, because unlike walking into a Publix where you pretty much know what you want, there's not a lot of, the only thing you need is direction to an area.
Right.
When you walk into an adult store, a lot of times you have no idea what you want.
Right.
You go in with a very broad, hey, I'd like a toy.
You're going in with a fantasy, essentially.
Right.
Yeah.
I'd like a rabbit. I'd like to tie my husband up.
Right.
Or whatever. And that's such a, you know, that sounds specific, but that's so broad in comparison to, you know, okay, well, how do you want to do it? How do you, are you sensory play? Are you, do you want to add flavor? Do you, you know, what, there are all kinds of ways that you probably haven't envisioned that you can, you know, entice and excite. And it's up to that retail experience to kind of manage that. And we've kind of grouped, there's basically three consumers that walk in there in terms of psychographic analysis. There's the generally the curious.
Okay.
And so that's the person who kind of walks in. Maybe it's their first, second time in. They're really kind of, you know, maybe a little hesitant, but you know, hey, I've walked into the store now, so I made the commitment. So I got to start in that. It's a whole new world. And there's all this stuff coming at me. And so the retail staff's trained to kind of let that person breathe a little bit, mm-hmm. and kind of let them figure, okay, this is where I'm comfortable. And then they'll go in and engage. So you've got the curious. Then you've got the first stage, which is the nervous, the one who I mentioned earlier, who's like really in a panic.
Yeah.
And so they do a good job of kind of saying, hey, this is all pretty fair yep. game. We'll help you with that. And then the third level is the experienced consumer. And that's the one that comes in and just, you know, knows what they're talking about.
Right.
And they start asking some real personal questions about what they can do and where they can do it.
Yep.
So that gets to be challenging for the staff. But they're all trained on how to interact with that, all three of those consumers, and really help them to, you know, have a great experience. Because once you've had that first experience, you know, with that kind of a play, you know, it just opens the door for you to kind of experiment and see what else you like. Some things you like and some things you won't.
And some people may travel down a road to explore many, many different things. And other people are perfectly comfortable with that.
Hey, I'm right here with the bullet and that's all I need. Yeah,
and you can service them everywhere in between.
Exactly.
That educated consumer. So for those listeners who may have joined us late, we're talking with Marcus West. He is Senior Vice President of Sales and Marketing for Joy Division USA. So we've talked about a few of the cons about the industry, or the pros. What about the cons in the industry, and how does that affect your, you know, normal day-to-day life?
Well, you know, it's interesting. It's a pro and a con for me personally. I'm single, so dating gets to be quite interesting. I have to kind of dance around what I do for a date or two, and then I'm like, I run a sex toy company, and they're like, wait a minute. And it gets to, then you're either in like Flynn or you're out. It's time to talk to you later.
So you have to judge that on how to approach, whether it's the first date or the third date, or just come right out of the gate with it.
Yeah, I'd say, here's what it is.
Yeah,
And a lot of times for women in our industry, it's even more difficult, because from a man's perspective, it's, you know, women tend to be like, oh, well, he's open, he's around it, so he must be understanding. It's tougher for women. I've worked in this industry for about 8 years, and I've probably hired 10 to 12 women.
Yeah.
And I'd say about half of them within the first 60 days end up quitting, not because of anything in the industry, because their significant other is so panicked and so worried, like, you're around these guys talking about these stuff, they must be hitting on you. And it's kind of weird. It's like you're desensitized in a way. Like, if you're around it all the time, it's kind of irrelevant. It's like, if you're working a strip club, you know, seeing someone go topless is like, whatever, I've seen that 1,000 times a day. So for me to see, you know, a vibrator sitting on a table is like, I see those, I design those. So it's not doing anything for me.
Yeah.
So it's definitely tough for women in that respect to join. But once they're in, some of the most powerful people in this industry are women. I'd say probably the leading manufacturer is owned by a woman, Susan mm-hmm. Colvin, California Exotics. A couple of the largest distributors, Honey's Place, is owned by a woman. There's a big distributorship in Midwest that's owned by a woman. It's just, there's a lot of, you know, female empowerment in the space. That's amazing. I think it's, you just see a lot of the mores you see in a lot of traditional businesses you don't really see here. So that's kind of the interesting thing. But, you know, hey, it's tough when you're sitting at Thanksgiving dinner and your brother's talking about, you know, he's a PR director at the police department. Your other brother, he's at a pharmaceutical sales rep for an epileptic drug. And then, you know, your mom and dad look at you and go, so how's the sex toy business going, son? It's a tougher conversation to kind of toss out in front of your little nephew. So there's some cons to it for sure.
Sure. Yeah, absolutely. But, you know, it sounds like you've really embraced this role. You certainly are the right guy for the position, it sounds like, and for Joy Division USA to kind of take them, you know, where they want to go, and this world of sensual lifestyle products. You know, it's evolving every day. New products are being developed. Old ones are fading away, but they're packaging it differently. And people, like you said, that third consumer that you mentioned wants to explore what's the newest, greatest.
They want to see the latest and greatest. You know, there's a number of, you know, app controlled toys now. So if you're in Atlanta and your significant other's in Miami, you can use your smartphone and control that toy.
Yeah. I mean,
there's a lot of technology that continues to adapt and be brought into this space. So you'll see continuing interesting things happening.
Yes,
that's for
certainly.
Sure.
So the more of the mainstreaming of the sensual wellness business, you mentioned a minute ago how you can go to your corner drugstore now and
certainly.
They have a expanded coverage and section for that. Any thoughts on where that may go into the future? Are we going to see commercials on TV? Are we going to have it on our Facebook and Twitter? I mean, will it evolve to?
It's really interesting. A lot of people, and this is one of the things whenever I talk to my personal friends, you know, that know me, and I said, hey, you know, this is what I'm doing. And they're, you know, they're like, oh, are you just in Starship? It's like, no, walk into a Walgreens, walk into a CVS. If you go down that family planning aisle where, you know, when you're in college buying condoms and it was a 3-foot aisle of just condoms and maybe a little KY. It's now a 12-foot section with multiple different lubricants and massage oils, and, you know, Trojans makes vibrators those are available there. And you'll see some of the bigger leaders in our space in some of those as well. I think, you know, things are continuing to, you know, from, you know, the Sex and the City wave that brought, you know, women sexual empowerment kind of brought that forward. And I think 50 Shades of Grey is taking an additional step.
Yeah, that's going to be my next point. So the 50 Shades of Grey effect and mainstreaming of this lifestyle, from your perspective, how has that been?
It was huge for us. Yeah. I mean, it just became one of those things where, and if you've read all three of the books or you haven't read them, you've seen the movie, it's, you know, at the end of the day, and I always like to recount this story, at my former company, we were one of the first to go after the license, and it was kind of an arbitrary thing. We oftentimes, an adult, you have these kind of brainstorming meetings and you're looking at stuff that's happening in the mainstream and trying to figure out how to take advantage of it. The book had been out for a couple of months, Ryan, and, you know, we were looking at it, and one of the owners of the company I work for is like, hey, my wife's reading this 50 Shades of Grey stuff. Like, we got to read and see what we can do. And so should we, you know, a lot of times in adult novelty, it's a lot of knockoff stuff. Like, we'll just come up with, you know, 50 Shades of Grayish, or, you know, we'll try to play with it. Shades of Grey, and they'll try to knock it off. And I said, no, you know, I came out of mainstream. We should go try to license it. So I'm on a flight from LA to Philly. I'm in the baggage claim, and, you know, I guess there was some sort of convention there. There were, you know, 8 women in their mid-30s, you know, kind of sitting over getting their bags. And of the 8 women, 6 had read the book and 2 hadn't. And they were all over the other 2, like, you've got to read this book. And what are you doing? I can't believe you haven't read this book. This is going to be the best thing ever for you, blah, blah, blah. And so I kind of thought, huh, so maybe this book's got something going for it. All right. Okay. All right. A couple of days later, I'm on a flight from Philly to Dallas, and I'm sitting, got bumped up to first class, which was always nice.
Yes.
And I'm sitting, sitting next to a lovely, probably late 60s, early 70s woman. And, you know, here I am, you know, big black guy, there's a little 65-year-old white woman reading. She's reading book 2, I'm reading book 1. And it was this, we were in this special little club. As soon as she saw me reading it, she goes, so, what do you think of the book? And I said, well, gonna tell you what I do for a living. And I told her what I did. And just all of a sudden, the conversation we had, I can't repeat on air, but I can guarantee you we wouldn't have had it without both of us having those books.
Right. And so it broke down some barriers. It able to connect a couple people who may have never
had a conversation about that ever in the world.
Or a conversation about anything.
Exactly. Yeah. Much less have a conversation about sensual wellness and sexuality. For
great story.
But it led me to believe that 50 Shades of Grey, the book, whether you like the book or not, whether you like the movies or not, have allowed women to have a conversation they were dying to have. Mm-hmm. 2 guys can be in a bar, have a beer, and have a conversation about sex, and nobody thinks anything of it. 2 women have it, and there's always a little question of judgment. Little slut puppy or whatever?
Right.
There's always a little bit of that edge to it, but 50 Shades of Grey allowed them to have that same conversation 2 guys can have, and make it palatable and totally normal. And I think that's incredibly important.
Right.
And it affected us business-wise tremendously. We saw, I think, more Kegel balls were sold in that year than had ever been sold 10 years before that. We saw an overall business increase probably upwards to 50 to 75% of our key retailers. And as the movies come out, you know, one came out last Valentine's Day. Yep. I think another one slated either this Valentine's Day or the next. It just, you know, it just made Valentine's Day more of our Super Bowl than it already was. You know, it just continues to affect that. And I think you see, you know, because of it, you're seeing the Targets, the Walmarts, a lot of the mainstream places continue to expand in there. You know, depending on your local kind of mores, you know, you may walk into CVS and it's got a smaller section. But hey, I can guarantee you, if you go to the Duane Reade in New York City, they've got a huge section of products.
Right?
Oh, yeah. Depending on where they are, they've been localized. They really try to work with then community standards to kind of say, okay, if you're a little bit more comfortable with this, and if you're kind of wide open, you might see a bit more than what you would traditionally see. You probably see that in Atlanta.
Right, very interesting. But back to the 50 Shades of Grey thing. My Facebook was being exploded by housewives for the first time, sharing their stories, sharing their thoughts. And I imagine half of them were the ones out there buying some of these sensual products and everything. And,
no question.
And I look at them now and I think, I know what you're doing. I saw your post from last year about 50 Shades of Grey.
No question.
So very interesting, though, that one book can really change the culture and the mindset. And I think it's more of a changing of the guard from, you know, our old baby boomer generation. You know, everything was done behind closed doors, not talked about, to more of a millennial, maybe a Gen X taking in charge, you know, everywhere in between. And it's more of a everyday conversation that people
can have. Well, and you got to think now, if you're, you know, anywhere between 35 and under, you're a social being. You know, to your point, and there's not a person I know who doesn't have Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, Snapchat. Yep. You know, you're sharing every little thing you do. So, of course, sensuality becomes a part of that sharing. Mm-hmm. And it kind of, I think you're right. There's just a much more open-mindedness to it. And we're going to continue to see that.
Yeah. And I posted on my Facebook this morning about how I'll be interviewing a gentleman from European sensual wellness manufacturer. And some of the comments were quite interesting. My aunt even chimed in on there. And I thought, okay, wait a minute. So, right. But nonetheless, it is, like I said, something that's now out there in the mainstream that people are no longer afraid to talk about.
Yeah. And it's important. I think, you know, it's not just about the, you know, for so long, it's just been kind of pushed under. And I think, hey, none of us would be here without sex.
Yeah, right.
No one would be here. We wouldn't be able to procreate. And so, you know, and in the confines of a loving relationship, it's important. You know, if you want to remain faithful, how do you reinvent things? We've got a whole list of kind of, you know, what we call, party in a box. So if you want to, whether you want to play dress up, whether you want to, you know, do stuff that's around, you know, light touching and, you know, kind of adding some glitter and scent play. If you want to do fragrance play, there's a lot of things that are out there that, you know, can help spark your romance and, you know, take date night to the next stage.
Yeah, right. And imagination is the only limiter here.
Exactly.
Whatever your heart desires. And continuing on this theme of mainstreaming of this industry, I see recently there was a Cosmopolitan license acquisition for Joy Division.
Yes.
Explain that to our listeners, please.
Oh, that's a huge deal for us. I think most women, and that's certainly men, are aware. Cosmopolitan has been talking to women about sensuality for, you know, 70 plus years globally. I mean, it's just one of the biggest brands out there. And it's one of the first to actually join this place from a mainstream perspective. So we have their license. We'll be launching in Europe, focused on the UK first. We'll be partnering there, I think, with Ann Summers, which is kind of like a Victoria's Secret in London. And we're really excited about it. I mean, we've got a full range from toys to lubricants to something we're calling Cosmosutra, so massage candles and body butters, all kinds of things to kind of really create the moment. And I think it was really forward thinking about Cosmopolitan. I mean, if you think about it, it's got amazing awareness. And I don't know, Ron, if you've ever read a Cosmo.
I've seen them. I remember when I was a kid, my mother used to get them, and I thought they were just the sexiest thing, when I was an 8-year-old boy, to be able to see it.
You should read it. It's one of those things most guys never read.
I never read it.
And if you read it, you'd be blown away that it was found on the grocery. Like, they're very, the things I could read from the magazine right now, you'd cut me off.
Right.
It's very specific. Very specific tips. And most women, very frank talk. And most women are completely aware of that.
Okay.
Now, it's certainly for a younger audience, but those women that are in their 40s and 50s remember Cosmo and recognize it as a leader in sensuality and wellness and having that very frank talk about women and empowering their sexuality. Mm-hmm. So we're excited to have the brand and to be developing product for it. So it's very focused on female and couples engagement. It'll be integrated. You'll see things in the magazine. You'll see ads. You'll see, bounce back types of offers. So if you buy a bunch of Cosmo products in an adult retailer, you'll get a free subscription to the magazine for a certain period of time. So we're excited. We think this is just the tip of the spear. One of the first big major brands to come into this space, trusting us with their brand and their equity. And I think a large part of that has to do with not only our experience as a manufacturer, but our team's experience being very mainstream oriented. And so that's how our focus is to develop the brand and bring it to the masses.
Right, and reputation that you have at Joy Division precedes you, so makes want somebody like Cosmopolitan, an American institution for many, many years, and women of all ages continue to enjoy
it. It's globally huge, right? Yeah. I was at a show, we kind of tested it in October, and one of our biggest distributors in Lithuania was like, I can't wait to get this. And I'm thinking, Lithuania? He goes, it's the number one magazine in Lithuania. Every woman knows this magazine.
Okay.
So as soon as you start making products, they're going to come right in. So it's just like you think it's big, and then you see stuff like that, and you realize exactly how big Cosmopolitan is globally. It's amazing.
How did this whole partnership come to be? Has it been in the works for a long time, or did it just happen overnight?
It was one of those things. I knew their licensing manager, and it's someone I'd worked with previously. So when I joined Joy Division in January, it was one of the first phone calls I made. I've personally felt very strongly about mainstreaming sexual wellness. It's taking it out of the closet and out of the bedroom drawers and putting it out there in a conversation over cocktails. That's kind of the whole positioning. It's very, you know, women talked about Sex in the City, and that was the core of Sex in the City. I mean, it was fashion, but truthfully, it was about their sex lives.
It was.
It was 100% about their sex lives and engaging on that. And the ability to have a brand that does that, like Cosmopolitan, was huge for us. So it took us a few months to kind of, you know, continue to show them plans, to show them how we were going to manage the brand and make sure that we, you know, if you're Hearst and you're, you know, IMG, who's our licensing partner, you want to make sure you're in great hands. Right. And I think we put together enough plans, showed them the roadmap to success that they felt very comfortable with it. And so in the next 6 to 12 months, you'll see this brand explode. And I think it'll be a very exciting time for all of us.
And you can certainly thank Marcus West for making all this happen. Like, he's the guy who was able to make these bridges and cross these places in the world today, from mainstream to the back room, and bringing it all to our enjoyment out there, men and women alike. So the essential wellness products that Joy Division offers is something that everyone can enjoy.
No question.
Let's remind our listeners how they can find out more information about your company, you know, the website, you know, any information along those lines.
Certainly. Well, you can certainly visit our Facebook. We're facebook.com/myjoydivision. Our website you can go to is http://en.joydivision-international-ag.de. Mm-hmm. And that'll give you a chance to go to our global website. Our domestic website just got hacked a day or two ago, so it's down, but it'll probably be up again. You can try it. That's myjoydivision.com. That's hopefully up by early next week.
Right. And all this information will be posted on our website, businessradiox.com, Atlanta Business Radio. And you can find all the links there back to Marcus and his organization, and read more about how you can, you know, bring this kind of lifestyle into your bedroom or wherever you may want to bring it, for sure. So looking back on 2015, what were some of the highlights for you professionally? I imagine the Cosmopolitan.
Oh, Cosmo deal was huge.
I was going to say. But any places you went or people you met that
Yeah, you know, that's kind of the coolest thing about this gig is the travel. It's nothing like, and I think we talked a little bit of beforehand about seeing how sensual wellness has played out in places like South Africa or mm-hmm. Australia, you know, Brazil.
Around the world.
So I do a lot of traveling. I get to see how people have embraced it. One of the ones that was completely mind-blowing for me was the Sexpo in Johannesburg.
Okay.
So it's, you know, the gentleman that he owns about 60 adult stores in South Africa. So he pretty much controls the market there, and he throws it. And for years, you'd see him at shows in Europe or America. And he's like, oh, you've got to come, Marcus. It's the biggest show. There's, you know, 60,000 people every day there. And you're really like, no, it's not 60,000 people showing up for this thing. It's not possible. There's about 60,000 people that show up for this thing. It's amazing. And it's everything. It's really well done. It's mainstreamed. It is literally like a, you know, kaleidoscope of events. I mean, yes, there's a, you know, a guy strip club and a girl strip club kind of tucked off in the back. And there's a guy named Picasso.
Okay.
Yeah, you can imagine what he does.
I can't imagine.
He's there. And he's actually quite good, okay. Believe it or not. Painting with that appendage. Yeah, right, he's quite talented. But then there's a lot of very mainstream stuff. There's a number of doctors there, direct sponsors a section where you're able to go in and chat about things. And there's everything from, you know, male enhancement discussions to, hey, we're a couple and we want to spark our lives again. How do we re-engage? And so there's all of that. And there's all these mini stores around, and it's just packed. I went all 3 days, probably packed 40, 50,000 every day, with people dying to get in, like lines to get in forever. So it's just always interesting when you, and it's not, you know, kind of, a lot of people make this assumption like, oh, it's, you know, these kind of trench coat weirdos. And they're like, no, it was almost universally all couples, you know, young couples, older couples, you know, gay couples, straight couples. Yeah. Just everybody kind of, hey, let's go in and see what's going on. And just, you know, we'll have a glass of wine and walk around and see what we can, maybe we can learn something. Maybe we can pick up something. It's just, you know, internationally, it's just much more open in that respect. You know, there are a few shows here that are like that.
Yeah, I was going to say, what in America can someone look
Exotica
forward to?
Exotica is pretty close to that. And, you know, in most of these, you will see the adult video girl stars. They're almost always there. But there's a lot more of the kind of mainstreaming stuff there, too. The Exoticas are probably the closest. The biggest show I think most people know is the Avian show in Vegas.
Right, the awards ceremony.
And there's a, in that, there's a consumer part where you're walking through, and that one gets a little, like, yeah, that one's a little out there because it's Avian.
Yeah, yeah.
So it's got to be, like, so Avian here, and there's another show called Venus in Germany. And if you think Avian is crazy here, you should see the Venus show in Berlin. That's that one's certainly, I've been to it two or three times, and it's an eye-opener for sure.
Now, does Joy Division go out there and just get out there to network, or do you actually have a booth and attract people? How do you get involved in some of these expos?
So depending on if it's consumer-facing or B2B. So the B2Bs, we're there, and we're selling to retailers. On the B2C or the business to consumer shows, depends on, like, so for Exotica, we do have a booth and we have product out there that consumers can buy. AVN will be out there as well. We actually sponsor a big party that kicks off the week at the Hard Rock Suite there, so that'll be fun. And at Venus, because it's in our backyard in Germany, we're obviously a huge part of that. So, you know, depending on where it is and what kind of event, you know, we try to be a part of them where it makes sense for us logically. And, you know, as we get ready to roll Cosmo, we'll be looking at a lot of both, you know, kind of those events and, quite frankly, mainstream events where it makes sense. There's a an event called She, Sexual Health Awareness, which is sponsored by the XBiz group. That's very mainstream. And they have great kind of expo weekends that they sponsor, and we'll probably be a part of those going forward as well.
And talking forward and looking forward to 2016, other than the Cosmopolitan partnership and growing that, anything else on the horizon, other expos or shows or places or products that Joy Division may be launching?
You know, we have got some very innovative toy products we're coming out with. We've got a lubricant line we're very excited about that takes your base lubricant and enhances it. So, you know, a lot of people, you know, you don't want just a basic lubricant. Maybe I want a lubricant that's pro baby that helps me get pregnant. I might want one that's I'm menopausal and I need something to help balance. So we're coming out with a line that kind of addresses all of those issues that we're excited about. So it's just going to be a fun year for us in 2016. Obviously, Cosmo is still a huge part of that. How do we, you know, ride that wave and build that throughout the world and continue to look at ways to mainstream this.
Right. And let's get your thoughts also on being an international company.
Sure.
That's got to present its own set of challenges. I was looking at the website earlier. You can get it in many different languages.
Yeah.
So that's infrastructure, thought process that you've got to put in place to make sure the consumer is getting what they want.
It's a huge number of business issues, from customs clearances, because you can imagine what Europe might clear, the U.S. might not necessarily clear, to South Africa. You've got to go through registrations and, you know, because 98% of what we do is going somewhere inside you. so you've got to be very careful from a medical perspective. So there's a lot of very strict rules that we follow. And
you have a team of lawyers over there kind of researching?
We have a team of chemists. We have a team of quality control, because everything we do is made in Germany. So as you can imagine, it's the Mercedes-Benz of product and quality control, which is really important. But it's an ongoing challenge regardless, because you know, what the sensual consumer in Spain doesn't necessarily translate to Montreal, Canada, or to Mexico City, or, you know, Rio de Janeiro. So you have to kind of pick and choose how you want to roll markets, and pricing is a huge thing. You know, we're importing in from Europe, and I can't tell you how happy I was that the euro took a decline this year. That has made a significant difference in my pricing. You know, we were getting crushed at the beginning of the year. You know, when the euro was, you know, 40% premium to us, and now it's closer to 10 to 12, and that's made a huge difference in what I've been able to offer to my retailers here in terms of price points.
And so this isn't your mom and dad's adult store anymore. This is highly qualified, very smart, focused individuals, teams of people over there researching, putting together the exact products that the customer is asking for.
Yeah, we do research extensively, quantitatively and qualitatively.
Yeah, so and so if you are looking for something out there to enhance your lifestyle, Joy Division would be, you know, a first stop to get involved with some of these high-quality, high-performing, really good products that you can, again, incorporate into your lifestyle on any different level. So if you're looking to experiment or you're looking to go all the way to the deep end, they can provide you that for sure.
No question. There's always something for any level of play you're looking for.
Right. So remind our listeners again how they can find you, your products, your services, or any other information you would like to share about Joy Division LLC.
Sure. They can find us on Facebook, facebook.com/myjoydivision. And you can find us on the web at myjoydivision.com. If you have any issues with that, the site should be back live by Monday. If not, you can always just Google Joy Division Germany and you'll see our international site as well.
Very good. And Marcus West is Senior Vice President of Sales and Marketing for Joy Division USA. When you're not changing the world of adult novelties and adult sensual products, what do you like to do in your off time?
I'm a fantasy football fanatic, my
okay,
man.
Okay, so this time of year, you're getting cranked up, aren't you?
I'm in five leagues. I made the playoffs in 4 out of 5. Pretty excited about that.
That's great.
I've been enjoying the Cam Newton wave. Cam has been phenomenal in fantasy
MVP.
Football.
He's going to be this year.
He's amazing. Yeah. I got lucky because I made a bet on him. I was driving through part of Atlanta, and I guess he must be from here. I haven't lived here in a few years. So
he is. He went to high school here.
Okay. So it was kind of weird. I was dating a girl, must be in his area, but I kept passing the sign that said Cam Newton. And so right before all my drafts, I was like, I'm going to draft Cam. I'm like, that must be a sign he's going to play well.
It was a sign, right?
Like, it was a sign.
You got it. Yeah, you listened. And I listened. Now look at you.
And we're in the playoffs in 4 out of 5, so we're excited. Huge fantasy football guy.
Good.
Fantasy baseball as well. Enjoy that kind of aspect of it. Huge, try to volunteer around the city where I can.
That's
Boys
good.
And girls clubs, that kind of thing. So it's good to be back. I went to college here at Morehouse.
Okay.
So
Morehouse alumni.
Yeah. Morehouse alum. Haven't been here in, 18 years, but I've been back about a year or so now, and it's good to be back home a little
bit.
And
what part of town are you residing in now?
I am, I think this is North Decatur.
Okay.
It's La Vista Heights, kind of North Lake.
Yeah, so you're
Mall.
In town. You're feeling some of the vibe of the city.
Oh, it's nice. I got to tell you, Edgewood, amazing. I wasn't here when I was last here.
Yeah.
Absolutely love Edgewood. I'm a big fan of that. I'm a fan of Atlantic Station. I've been hitting that up. It reminds me of L.A. and kind of the outdoor mall aspect of it. Just amazing. A lot of little nooks and crannies have been developed since I've been gone, so it's cool to be back.
Yeah, and we're certainly glad to have the American headquarters of Joy Division here in Atlanta, right?
Yeah, that's was a big part of why my partners here picked it. Atlanta is obviously, from a shipping perspective, amazing.
Yep.
We're bringing all our product over from Europe, so it drops right in here, and Hartsfield is constantly busy with our product going in and out, so it's a great distribution point for us, importing from Europe and exporting out to other parts of the hemisphere. So Atlanta's been a great place for us to do business.
Well, glad. We're certainly, as a city, glad to have a company like you out there doing business here in Atlanta, and we are a destination city, an international city, where things get done and business is getting done here on a regular basis. So thank you so much, Marcus, for taking time to join us today.
No problem, Ryan.
You're welcome back into the Atlanta Business Radio studio anytime. If you got some new news or new products you want to share with our listeners, please do come back.
Would love to, Ryan.
All right, excellent. So if you're out there if your company's out there doing something interesting to genuinely serve your market, your community, and your profession, reach out to us directly on the contact page at the website, businessradiox.com. Thank you to Stone Payton and Lee Cantor. And on behalf of the entire Business Radio X Network, I'm Ryan Red Hawk McPherson. We will see you on the radio.